This is your Polycast for Friday, January 6th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Governor Dayton offers a plan to cut taxes, and lawmakers are poised to act quickly on health care. DFL Governor Mark Dayton is proposing a $300 million package of tax cuts that would help an estimated 450 Minnesotans. The proposal announced yesterday is a pared-down version of the tax bill he vetoed last spring. But with a projected $1.4 billion budget surplus available, Republicans who are now in charge of the House and Senate are looking to cut a lot more. Tim Pugmire reports.
Dayton says his plan will expand tax credits available to low- and middle-income families, make child care more affordable, and reduce the property tax burden on farmers. Cities and counties would get a bump in state aid, and college students would get a tax break on tuition. The bill is about $180 million smaller than the 2016 bill that Dayton vetoed due to a potentially expensive drafting error. The governor said he eliminated tax breaks he viewed as unnecessary, including one for tobacco products. He's also concerned about costs. Dayton said his initial $300 million two-year plan would top $500 million in subsequent budget cycles.
We worked very hard to bring fiscal integrity back to Minnesota. It's been recognized nationally. We have structural surpluses for this biennium and the next biennium, and I'm not going to allow anyone to sacrifice that fiscal solvency for any measure through this process.
Still, Dayton said he's willing to give cautious consideration to other tax ideas in context of the overall state budget. Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith emphasized the potential economic impact of expanded child care tax credits to an estimated 75,000 families. Smith said making the cost of child care more affordable will help to strengthen the state's workforce.
One of the biggest challenges we have in our economy is making sure that our workforce can actually work. And in order for that to happen, people have to have great places for their children to be in preschool and daycare. So this is all part of a big strategy to help make our families be able to work and have them have higher disposable income at the end of the day.
Dayton is proposing relatively modest tax relief for businesses. One provision would simplify the paperwork needed for research and development tax credits. Another would extend state filing deadlines for businesses that receive federal filing extensions. Republicans say they're ready to discuss the governor's ideas, but they're also intent on advancing many of their own. Republican Senator Roger Chamberlain of Lino Lakes is the new chair of the Senate Tax Committee.
We're going to aim for equitable tax relief for every Minnesotan, from lowest income to highest income, and that includes business relief as well. Business and small business drive this state's economy, and that's what we'll have to focus on.
House Tax Chair Greg David said he views the governor's tax bill as only a starting point.
It's a little lean, it's a little skinny as far as the relief to Minnesotans, but we'll work on that.
Davids of Preston said he plans to give the governor's proposal a full hearing. He said there are parts of the bill he likes, including the child care tax credit expansion and the property tax breaks for farmers. But Davids is looking at additional property tax help for businesses.
That's very important for our small businesses and the big businesses. All businesses combined win on that issue.
Davids moved quickly on a separate tax measure Thursday. His committee held a morning hearing on legislation to better align state tax code with recent federal changes. A few hours later, the House passed the tax conformity bill on a 130-0 vote. That bill, which now heads to the Senate, will provide nearly $22 million in tax relief to about 220,000 people. Covering politics, I'm Tim Pugmire at the Capitol.
The debate over Minnesota's health care and insurance system is already underway at the state capitol. Legislative Republicans came out with their version of a rescue plan yesterday, a couple of days after Governor Dayton revived a relief package of his own. Lawmakers from both parties promised to move quickly on emergency insurance aid, but that doesn't mean they're all on the same page. Brian Baxt has that story.
Here's where the sides agree. Minnesota's individual insurance market is in dire shape. The 5% of Minnesotans who shop for coverage there are coping with steep cost increases and limited choices. So state leaders are all on board with 25% rebates on monthly premiums for people who aren't eligible for federal tax subsidies. And as House Speaker Kurt Dowd stressed, there's a shared sense of urgency given an approaching deadline to sign up for 2017 coverage required under the Federal Affordable Care Act.
We're going to move fairly quickly to get this bill passed and on the governor's desk and this help in the hands of Minnesotans.
But there's disagreement over how to deliver the help and who should be eligible. There's even less consensus about broader changes to the state's health coverage system and whether those come now or wait until later. The divisions were on display as House Democrats put the brakes on a plan that majority Republicans tried to get an immediate vote on, something that could only happen if both parties agreed. DFL Representative Aaron Murphy of St. Paul argued for taking time to make sure the rebates work as intended.
If we take the shortcut, which we're proposing to do today, we could miss that and actually delay the proper implementation of the relief that we all want together.
The Republican proposal's main feature is $285 million in health insurance rebates for more than 100,000 Minnesotans. The plan would place income limits on the aid. Premium payers who earn more than a certain amount, about $194,000 a year for a family of four, wouldn't qualify for assistance under the GOP bill. Republican Senator Michelle Benson of Ham Lake chairs a key health committee. She says the rebates are capped for good reason.
So that we can stretch these dollars and impact the people who are hurt the most.
Governor Dayton's proposal had no income cap, but he's open to the idea. Dayton cautioned that his administration could have trouble doing the income testing on the fly. The Republican proposal also would deliver the rebates through a state agency rather than via health care plans that sell the policies. Dayton says it's another complication.
I thought we had an agreement that it was going to be a simple bill, straightforward, premium relief, because that's what we need to do now, especially before January 31st, before people need to make their decisions about what kind of insurance policies they can afford for this year.
Another section of the Republican bill creates a $15 million pool of money to offset care costs for people with serious conditions who are facing the loss of doctors due to insurance changes. People who are pregnant, in the last months of life, or facing acute illnesses would qualify for the additional help. Chaska Republican Joe Hoppe says it's a step towards solving another pressing issue.
It doesn't do you any good to have health insurance if you can't have access to health care.
The total package would be covered by $300 million from the state's Rainy Day Fund. One potential landmine in the bill would allow for-profit insurance companies to enter the Minnesota market that is now limited to nonprofit health companies. Republicans, including Hoppe, say it could lead more companies to provide plans in the individual marketplace after a contraction in recent years.
Our goal is to try to rescue the individual insurance market for next year and for into the future.
DFL Senator Tony Laurie of Carrick is skeptical.
We should ask whether that's actually going to work. I'm not sure that there are any for-profit providers that want to come into the state of Minnesota. They've been leaving every marketplace in the country. And there may be other more effective levers that we could use.
Even with the hiccup in the House, votes on the bills could start as soon as next week, with a goal of negotiating a deal with Dayton within weeks. Covering politics, I'm Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday and the first week of 2017. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.